Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
Sermon for the day, the third Sunday in Lent. The right man is on our side, by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr. I told the 9 o'clock class last week that I think of the third Sunday in Lent as Devil Sunday. I was explaining why we were going to be singing Martin Luther's great hymn. You want to translate it? Ein fester Berg, a mighty fortress. That'd do as the nation's hymn today, as the sermon hymn today. A mighty fortress is about Christian warfare against the devil. And the devil is what today's gospel is mostly about. One of the ways Jesus attracted attention in the early part of his ministry was through his ability as an exorcist, his power to cast out devils in God's name. He was not the only person who had such power. Part of the byplay today between Jesus and his opponents involves the fact that there are a lot of Jewish exorcists around. His ability to cast out demons combined with his ability to heal and his ability to preach and teach make a package that brought many people out to see him. I think we need first to address the question, aren't devils and the devil himself just something that people believed in the old days before we had more sophisticated medicine and psychiatry? Are we really supposed to believe in that sort of thing now? I believe that the devil exists. I believe that there is organized opposition in the world to God and to what God wants to have happen. I believe that malevolent forces from within and from without can play upon people to imprison them under and render them incapable of turning to God. I have seen the movie The Exorcist, and I have no difficulty believing that what it depicts is real. I have performed several exorcisms myself, though not as dramatic as the one in the movie, and only one of them in California. I baptize people, and exorcism is part of baptism. I suggest that anyone who is skeptical about the devil's existence in his activity read the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. I do not reject medical and psychological explanations for weird things that go on, but I reserve the right to believe that science cannot explain everything. And I know that science's strength is in describing things and in explaining things, not necessarily in changing them for the better or curing them. A psychological counselor or a psychiatrist, for example, can be of enormous help, but he cannot forgive your sins. As long as your sins remain unconfessed, and therefore effectively unforgiven, the devil has you where he wants you, in a prison you have built for yourself. Forgetting for a moment issues about cloven hooves and horns and long red tails, let us take a look at how the New Testament describes the devil's power. The Epistle to the Hebrews says that the greatest power the devil has over us is to make us afraid to die. That comes in a longer section, which is trying to explain the incarnation, why God became human and Jesus. Please listen carefully to how the Good News Version makes this point. Since we are people of flesh and blood, Jesus himself became like us and shared our human nature. He did this so that through his death, we might destroy the devil who has the power over death. So far, so good. Jesus became a human being to destroy the devil's power over death. Hebrews goes on, Jesus' death set free those who are slaves to all their lives because of their fear of death. We are all naturally afraid to die. We don't know what happens. It looks as though we are cut off forever. We don't like seeing people we love die because we can't be in touch with them anymore. There are lots of bad possibilities. Maybe we'll be obliterated and completely forgotten. Maybe we'll fry in an unimaginably painful torture pit. Maybe we've done things so bad that that's where God will send us. Maybe God will just decide that he wants us in hell and doesn't have to have a good reason. Who knows? I don't want to die. I want to prolong my life on this earth as long as I can milk it out. The devil exploits our natural fear of death to keep us anxious and off balance. He tells us not to confess our sins, because then God will know the truth, and he'll surely punish us in a permanent way. Jesus breaks that power by dying for them, coming back to life, and then coming back to life. He says to us, in effect, you don't need to wonder about what happens when you die. After you are baptized, you are connected to me forever. Even when you die, as far as this world and this body is concerned, you are still connected to me. Nothing can take that away. Don't let the devil fool you. You will sleep in me until the last day, and at the last day, I will give you a new body, and I'll take you to heaven to live with me forever. That is my guarantee to you. If you know what happened to me and you believe in what I have told you, you don't need to be afraid to die. You won't need to be afraid to let people you love die. Despite what the devil wants you to believe, death does not have the last word. I am stronger than death. I beat death. If you remain in me, you will beat death too. The best way to experience what will happen at the end of is to confess your sins now and let me forgive you. Jesus did not merely resist the devil successfully on the Mount of Temptation. Jesus defeated him on the cross. Martin Luther assures us, still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe, but the right man is on our side. Christ Jesus, it is he, and he must win the battle. And now, unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.